After 24 hours without my Switch, all I wanted to do was flop on the couch, like Link with half a heart. But the very next afternoon, as soon as I finished my school Zooms and lunch, Mom sent me to Gigi's room to begin my duties. Gigi sat propped up in bed. She wore a turban and a purple house dress and looked like some sort of royal person. "Hi," I said, trying to sound more excited than I felt. "Mom wants me to help you go through your boxes." "Not today," she said. "But Mom wants..." "No," Gigi said. I suddenly wondered if Mom had known Gigi was going to put up a fight. They knew each other better than your average grandmother and granddaughter. Gigi had helped take care of Mom after her own mother, Gigi's daughter, got sick with cancer. You think she would have warned me, though? It wasn't like Gigi to be so resistant. "Come on," I said. "The sooner we get through these, the sooner you'll get back to..." But then I couldn't think what Gigi had to get back to. It made me a little sad. Watching TV. Gigi shot a nervous glance at the boxes, as if she didn't like the idea of my rooting through her false teeth and ancient underwear any more than I did. "Which one do you want me to start with?" I asked. There were five of them lined up against the wall. She pointed reluctantly to a medium-sized one on the end. As I hauled it over and scissored open the packing tape, I thought about that public television program where people show experts some old knick-knack from their attic that then turns out to be worth $1 bazillion. Mom once told me Gigi was born in Ukraine during the Russian Revolution. What if she had something like that? Maybe some lost treasure of the Tsars? In fourth grade, we had learned that the Tsars were the wealthy Russian kings and that the Bolsheviks killed the last one, along with his entire family, during the Russian Revolution. Imagining becoming instantly rich and famous gave me a little more enthusiasm for the task. But as I lifted the sides, my fantasies of jewel-covered eggs and golden sabers instantly vanished. Inside the box were a bunch of record albums. I knew what they were because Dad was always talking about vinyl and how it has a better sound. I flipped through Gigi's records, but they were all boring classical stuff, mostly piano concertos. "We don't have a way to play these," I said. Even if I wasn't crazy about her music, I felt sorry breaking this to her. She must have liked these records to save them. "Maybe Mom could buy a record player," I said. "Set it up for you here." "No need," she said. But I caught her glancing over at the records, just a flick of her eyes. "I don't think they cost a lot. Mom could order one on Amazon. It's not like she has to go out or anything. I can talk to her."
"Don't," Gigi said. Her voice was soft, almost whispery, but firm. "Just want quiet."
I didn't totally believe her, but what could I do? I stacked the records straighter so they would look neatened up in case Mom checked. That's when I noticed some papers and a bronze pin at the bottom of the box. Embossed on the front of the pin was a woman in a knee-length skirt, throwing a bowling ball. Women's League High Series was written on the top, and a date, 1958. I held it up so Gigi could see. "Did you bowl?" I asked. I couldn't imagine Gigi even lifting a bowling ball now, but she grinned at me.
"Yeah."
By this time, I'd opened the papers. They were score sheets with Gigi's name, Nadia Johnson, written at the top, and her team, the Knockouts.